The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's way more intense than anybody can speak on it. Like, it's really... Like, I don't even eat in Cleveland. I never eat in Cincinnati. And I never eat in Baltimore. Like, they could just forget about it. They talk about the good crab in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I ain't never had it.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Peters. We are at Porky's in Etna. I am facing wings. T-Bird and Malzi crushed burnt end sandwiches. They have amazing barbecue. Come down and have it and donate to our great event, which is our For the Win charity drive. Gift cards and monetary donations help the women who are at the Greater Pittsburgh Women's Center and Shelter. And we're trying to help them out and give them a brighter Christmas holiday. Here until 6, that was Joey Porter, Malzi's favorite ex-Steeler, on Hard Knocks last night. That was the human interest piece of Hard Knocks. The Porter family, get to know
all in the family.
Joey Porter and Joey Porter Jr. They did show some clips of Porter working with a Steelers assistant coach on making sure he didn't get flagged. That actually helped. That was an issue.
He didn't
in
have
the game against the Browns.
Nice clean game for him by and large.
And Joey Porter saying he hated teams like the Browns, Ravens, and Bengals so much he wouldn't eat in those cities. I don't even know how that works. These teams fly in, because remember, he coached too, so this is like a recent thing.
Sure.
You fly into these places on a Saturday, and then you don't leave until after the game.
So he would not even get room service? Yeah, right. He wouldn't get room service? He wouldn't do anything like that?
He would pack it like a bagged lunch?
Can you imagine him just having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and like pretzels and an apple from home?
I know a sportscaster in Pittsburgh who was so thrifty that when he would go on the road, he would pocket his per diem and he would bring a loaf of bread and peanut butter, and that's what he would eat.
Did you work with this sportscaster in Pittsburgh for several years?
No, I did not.
Did you? Oh, boy.
Wait a minute, I'm giving it away. It's not Cook. I know what you were going for there, and I'll admit that it wasn't Ron.
That is shocking to me. I would think that that would be a Ron move.
No, Ron would go to the hotel bars and things of that nature.
The hotel, yes, the hotel bars. I guess you really aren't using your per diem on that necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Who would, can I, like, do you want me to try to name this person, or will it be embarrassing if we...
No, you can, I'll give you one more crack at it, and I will swear myself to... transparency that if you get it right, I will say who it is.
Okay. Who would pocket his per diem?
Mm-hmm.
And this is somebody we've worked with.
Kind of.
Our generation, generally.
Sure. Yeah. It's not something from like the 1970s.
See, anybody I pick here just flippantly, it's going to be funny because if it gets back to them, it'll offend them.
Okay.
That I would have said their name. I'm going to go with one off the board.
Go ahead.
Albie Oxenrider.
No.
Okay.
I'll tell you off the air.
Can't wait. Do you actually, I just don't, like, so Joey Porter wasn't eating pit beef in Baltimore. I mean, Cleveland's
what do you
just
mean,
really.
Pit beef? The thing there is the crabs that he brought.
Well, no, they got that open pit beef or whatever. They have some, like, very specific beef sandwich.
T-Bird,
type
did
of
you
thing.
Know that Baltimore's known for pit beef sandwiches?
No, and my grandma lives in Baltimore. Never
there you
heard
go.
Of it.
Pit beef, Baltimore. Chaps pit beef. The pit beef
I don't
sandwich
know. That's
is
such
a big
hipster
deal.
Thing, like, oh, the, you know, tired are crabs in Baltimore, wired are pit beef sandwiches. But that is, they do
it's known for two things. It's known for crab, and it's known for pit beef. Like, I've watched a Diners, Drive-Ins.
Sure, it's just known for crap.
I've watched a Triple D. If Guy Fieri says it is so, it is so. That would be logistically very difficult for Porter, unless he's felt like hotel food in those cities was like neutral food, you know what I mean?
So he's not technically going out to eat, like he's just taking like the team's catered spread, I
right.
guess?
Right, okay. Yeah, I think he's got to look at that as neutral food. He's got to mean that like I'm not going to a nice Baltimore restaurant.
I think Hard Knocks has already lost its luster.
Jumped the shark?
I think already it's...
Didn't they recycle footage of Pickett?
They did?
It looked like they were using like recycled Pickett footage somebody was accusing them of.
I don't know, I'd have to go back and analyze it like it's the Zapruder film to figure that out.
Well, you used to do that with every Kenny passing attempt. So.
Fair. I watched it with Amanda last night. The thing about a show like that is that it holds her attention. She actually can sit down and watch that and be entertained by it.
What appeals to her about it?
The behind the scenes, the getting to know the players. Something that, for example, appeals to her and probably not most football. People like you and I are watching for the football part of it.
Yep.
She sees the kid who's battling cancer who meets Jamar Chase and
does the whole gritty. He's like, if I score him doing the gritty,
yes,
then he did the gritty.
Exactly.
Widely reported on
so
TV.
So she gets emotional and choked up watching that happen. And
I do like that
she
stuff,
gets invested in Jamar Chase, and now she starts to read more about Chase. And
she becomes a Jamar Chase fan.
Yeah. So that part of Hard Knocks
I'm not watching
more geared
for
towards her than it is like the hardcore X's
sure.
and O's loving football fan.
I'm not watching it for that, but I do appreciate those stories.
I do too. They just missed out on so many raw meat topics last night. For example, the Deontay Johnson thing
that's
in
what
Baltimore.
Got me. That's what got me. I was able to like catch up and speed watch it. I didn't catch it live last night. I had to catch up today before the show. How you don't have anything on that entire like mushrooming problem there, the suspension. That was what we talked about going in was going to be our big concern. Are they going to go away from the real, like, juicy, potentially negative stories because teams have final edit? And that is probably the biggest bit of turmoil or dark cloud floating around the Ravens right
it's
now.
It's sold as a documentary series. It's not. They're not documenting.
It's PR.
They're not documenting what's actually happening there. They're trying to put their own spin and tell their own story with the cooperation of the teams. So
it's but. Have you ever read the old saying about journalism? Journalism is printing what somebody else doesn't want printed. It's the same thing for this. Like a real documentary film with no creative cut or editorial cut on the subject's part might put something on film that the subject would rather not be out there. This is PR if it's not that.
I look back on the first episode and at least there was that Tomlin trying to get Pickens refocused after the controversial interception at the beginning of the Bengals game.
Mm-hmm.
There was really nothing in this game, man. I mean, in this episode. It's entertaining. You get to turn your brain off and kind of poke in and see a little bit. It's like a hole in the fence where you can peer in and get a decent idea of what's happening. You see Tomlin at the beginning of the episode. He's doing his offensive leaders meeting where he's saying, these are the things I want you to really key in on and make sure the younger guys on the offense, these are the points of emphasis this week.
Yep.
Okay, so that's a little bit behind the curtain, but nothing there is super illuminating or groundbreaking.
It's all dog bites man stuff.
And so
Myles Garrett had a cough, though, Pony.
Yes, he did.
He was hacking up a lung.
Which I thought the whole point of that was to just try to give him a pass or give them a reason for why they didn't play as well in the game as they hoped. Like, well, he had to gut it out. He played at less than 100%. Give him credit for even the sack and the recovered fumble late in the game because he probably shouldn't have been out there with bronchitis or whatever the hell
he had. It's not exactly Jordan's flu game.
No.
He also likes iMessage during team meetings. He just had the old iPad out, just texting
his
buddies.
There were no even, like, real, like, funny. They tried to take the assistant Browns offensive line coach in the first episode, and he probably used the F word 30 times in
a minute long
2 minutes.
Clip, yeah.
They didn't even really have anything like that stood out in this episode.
I think it's a diminishing returns kind of series and has been since the minute they just told the teams like, no, you can kind of have an aggressive editorial say in what actually makes it over the air. It then really, you know who the target market is for this? It's your wife or people like her that maybe aren't into the hardcore stuff, Or it is for the so ultra hardcore Steelers fan that just wants like Steelers or like any other team in the division's fan base that just wants the look behind the scenes, whether it's like sanitized or not. They just can't get enough. And how broad of a base of people is that, man? Like at the end of the day, like are the people who get in our mentions when we're mean to the Steelers and tell us we suck, are they so hardcore that they are watching that going, this is phenomenal television? No.
McAfee did that again today. So it just keeps getting better and
better. Okay, but what did I tell
you? Another great episode.
I hope Phil Maines is not listening, but I think I am just being very fair and above board here. The whole point of Pat's show is they lean into the positive side of things. Like, you're not going to have Pat going on there after
a game.
So a
crappy-ass episode, he would not even...
He's going to accentuate the positives. That's the whole point of that show is good vibes about sports.
We're going to have Aditi Kinkabwala join us in 10 minutes. She's been in PR... what am I looking for? The word I'm looking for. Meetings with Belichick.
Production
meetings. I knew it was a P. Production meetings with Bill Belichick last year when she was working for CBS. We'll ask her if she ever thought in her wildest dreams that Belichick would be working on finalizing a deal to become North Carolina's next head coach. Chris, how different is this than Wani going to Pitt?
Level of accomplishment for as the main
I
thing.
I mean, Wani was at Miami with Jimmy Johnson, so he had more exposure to the college game than Bill obviously has, but it was a long time. He was with Jim in the mid-80s.
It was, but Dave had his shot in the pros and hadn't won a title or anything like that. Bill has won six of them.
No, but what I mean is it was a Dave Wannstedt was an NFL coach.
Going to
yes,
college.
He was in college, but he was a guy that was going from having been a head coach with the Dolphins and
defensive
a head coach with the Bears
yeah.
and a defensive coordinator in the NFL to becoming the head coach of a college program. And he had not coached in college since the 80s with Jimmy Johnson at the University of Miami. Right? So they were not getting a guy that was all that familiar with the current college game. In fact, wasn't there a whole thing about how Kavanaugh's plays and his offensive playbook originally were for like the hash marks being closer together like the pro
yes.
game than the college game?
Yeah.
Right? So... Tell me how you feel about this. I would say overall at Pitt, Dave Wannstedt's tenure there was somewhat of a success. Failure. I'm going to put Wani in the successful bucket.
He brought them, other than the one Kenny Pickett year where, you know, they were playing in the Peach Bowl and they were a big deal for a while. I mean, Wani is the closest that they got to, like, actually playing in a BCS game. So, yeah, I would have to put it as a success. It ended in very inauspicious terms or on very inauspicious terms, but, yeah, I would say...
It took a while to get it started, and they...
But he got the kind of players. He put NFL players on that roster, and then he developed them, and they became NFL stars in some cases.
And you obviously agree that Bill Belichick is a much better coach than
yes.
Wani. No disrespect to him.
We love Wani, but Belichick's won six Super Bowls.
So, if I think Dave Wannstedt could be somewhat successful at Pitt,
mm-hmm.
then why should I believe that Bill Belichick couldn't do something similar or better at North Carolina?
If he hires the right people, he can. I do think he can.
When you say the right people, what do you mean?
Like, I think he needs to hire. So this is what I think he needs to do. Hire a good offensive mind. And, like, if you're going to run a pro-style program, understand that that doesn't mean lining up in the I formation anymore like Alabama used to do under early Saban. Like, if you want to have it be a pipeline to the pros, then run everything like that, which includes like a pro-style offensive coordinator, I would say.
The pros don't even do I. The fullbacks
are
out. No,
that's what I'm saying. It means don't line up like that anymore. It means spread it out. You've got to get pro concepts. Here's the problem I find with him trying to say, like, this is a pipeline to the pros. That all is well and good, and it sounds really nice when you say it or it gets written down. Here's the problem. It doesn't matter how good your football team is. Best case scenario, how many of your guys on any given year in college are going to make, from one team, are making it to a pro roster the next year? Like 10 maybe, 11 from one of those Alabama teams or Ohio State teams?
Yeah, right? I'm okay with that number.
Okay, but at North Carolina, is it really going to get to that number? Probably not. So I think like what he wants to do and what he's materially going to be able to do are two different things. And how successful or not successful he is relies on how much of a matter of degree that is.
5 years ago, the only way to really build a great program was to recruit out of high school the best players. Go talk to mom and dad. about kids that were 16, 17 years old and convince them to come play for your football team. Now, with the transfer portal, you just have to look around and find guys who fit what you do and pay them enough or convince them that your program is going to get them to the next level. That evolution of college football, I do think, works in Belichick's favor big time. I mean, if he really wanted to, he could build a program that was almost entirely built off of players that came from other teams. You can do that now.
He's got to have the financial backing, though, of the school. And, like, the one thing I keep reading is that there are people skeptical that the pockets will be that deep at North Carolina. But I guess I also heard last night, I don't know if you saw this report, that a trustee tried to offer him the job, not the AD. Like, I'm sorry. It sounds like some of these stories where it's near the goal line. I'm not doing that to troll you, I swear. But, like, it's getting closer and closer and closer.
But hold on,
it does
though.
Sound like there's some chaos behind the scenes.
Sure, but I don't think it's bad that the people with the money
are just trying
are the
to
ones
jump
that
the,
are pushing for it.
Gun.
Yeah, I mean, if the AD was really the one that was gung ho on Belichick and was trying to like force his
agenda.
Sure,
I see that. But then it's one thing to try to get the guy hired, then pony up to play the players year after year. Do you have a deep enough pool of people? They ain't SMU.
We'll get Aditi's take next. Also, we'll get her thoughts on this game in Philadelphia. There is maybe trouble brewing with the Eagles, and we'll see if Aditi thinks the Steelers can take advantage of that. Text us on the Edgar Slatter Associates fan text line. We'll go all access next. We are live at Porky's in Aetna. Come see us for our For the Win charity drive benefiting the Greater Pittsburgh Women's Center and Shelter. Right now, Gorgeous Charlie Borges has a headline, and we're right back. Charlie Borges back at Mission Control. We are live at Porky's in Aetna. This place is filling up. Parking was a little bit of a squeeze for T-Bird. You see his parallel job in front?
Oh, I did. Brutal. Yeah. Emphasis on, like, you put finger quotes around job because I don't really know if he actually was parallel to anything.
What was that, dude?
There was a expensive BMW behind me, so rather than
risk a lawsuit.
Rather than risk it, I mean, the car's there. I'd like to see anyone who's listening right now come do a better job than me out front of Porky's.
Well, the issue with the Fan Tahoe, too, is that it's from 2008.
It's not even a Tahoe. It's a Suburban, which is a foot longer than a Tahoe.
Thank you, smarty pants.
He actually would know that because he's doing these big speaker systems
but
for cars.
You have
the
no
side.
Rear camera. In fact,
no,
when
I
drove that to Indy for the Colts game, there's not even a charger in there. So I had to buy, I don't know if it's still in there.
Like yes. A cigarette lighter
it's not
adapter?
In there.
I bought the, yeah, so some of us yanked it.
It's gone.
Stole it.
So you had like a cigarette lighter adapter.
Yeah. I bought it at a,
You know what? I drove
Ohio convenience store.
When Joe and I went down for spring training the 1 year we were down there in 2018.
You had to drive with him?
No. I didn't drive down, but we had, so Hathorn had driven down because he was going to be down there for a long haul. And then he was, like, coming back up. But he left us the vehicle, like, at the airport. And I will say, driving, I think it was the KDAM vehicle. It was driving a bit of a war wagon, man. I felt like the steering wheel was a little loose. Didn't want to take it above 75.
So we're at Porky's here, dollar off fresh smoked wings. They benefit the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. We've been raising money for them all month through our For the Win promotion. You can go to 937thefan.com and donate there. You can come down and see us, donate money, or gift cards. We're taking two to Target, Walmart, Amazon, all the major retailers. All right, time to talk to Aditi Kinkabwala, NFL on CBS reporter. All access brought to you by Bet365. Aditi, you were in production meetings with Belichick all last year. Are you shocked that he's on the verge of becoming North Carolina's next head coach?
I mean, you know, it's funny. We talked about this with Landon Roberts yesterday, and at his core, Bill Belichick is a teacher. He loves the game of football more than just about anybody I've ever met. He is a fantastic teacher. He loves teaching. And then here's the other piece. There's total control. When you're a college coach, you drive the ship. You make more money than the chancellor or the dean or the president of the university, whatever it
is.
Yeah,
the players.
Yeah. Now, I think that it would be so onerous to do recruiting, handle the NIL, all of that wild, wild west that has become the college game.
Well, they
but
do
on the
have
other
GM.
Hand,
they're hiring
people.
GMs now, though, for that, Aditi. Like,
yes.
These guys are just hiring general managers and letting them deal with all that nonsense.
Exactly. Isn't Andrew Luck doing something akin
to
that?
Yeah, he's doing that. But he's got – I'll tell you what, Andrew Luck learned well. He's the GM of Stanford football, but he technically occupies a position higher up in the hierarchy than, like, even the AD or something there. It's wild.
I mean, and he's brilliant. But so the point is that Belichick could bring in the right type of support system. He would not have to really answer to an owner because at the university level, of course, he's going to be essentially the most important employee at that university. He loves teaching. He loves coaching. And I don't know, is there an NFL opportunity out there for him? It's really hard for me to buy, but at the same time, I could also make an argument for it. What do you guys think? Are you like, this is just a leverage point?
No, I don't think he has any bites from the NFL, Aditi. I don't think anybody in the NFL is calling, and I think to your point, Florio just told us that. Yeah, well, yeah, Mike just told us that. We've heard, you kind of can extrapolate that from the way this has gone down. I buy what you're saying, that he just loves to teach and wants to get back into that, and it just sounds like there's nothing from the NFL. What do you think is going to be the hardest thing for him if he can delegate the NIL stuff and some of the recruiting? Like, where do you think he will thrive the most there, but also maybe have a bit of an actual learning curve despite being a six-time Super Bowl winner if he takes the job?
Well, look, I think that this is something that we're seeing in the NFL too, and that's that today's player is a different player than that of 10 years ago. So on the one hand, I sit here and I say, okay, well, he's a college coach and these 17-year-olds have to listen to him. These 18-year-olds have to listen to him. It's easier to sort of have, I mean, I remember when he had rookies in New England and rookies weren't allowed to talk to the media except on Friday. You know, like, there are different rules that college players would adhere to because there is almost a fear factor. What if my scholarship gets yanked? I don't know if that exists anymore. I don't know if that complete buy-in, selling out, I don't know. But, you know, it's not like Belichick doesn't have that other side, right? And we've all seen it as he's gone on this media tour this year. And I've had the opportunity to personally see it. You know that behind the scenes that he is actually funny and is a great storyteller and is a tremendous historian. And so you would hope that this year out will make him be a little bit less of a martinet and more personable with his players. But regardless, that's the piece. I don't know if you can be a disciplinarian. I don't know if you can be a hard blank. I don't know if we're even allowed to say that word on the air right now.
You can say hard ass if you want to say it
okay,
now because we just said
ass five times in a row, by all means, to get it out of your system.
Yeah, I just don't know. In this day and age, can you be that in the same way?
Aditi, we told you that Florio came on and said Saints, Jets, Bears all have head coaching vacancies. Not a single one of them have reached out to Belichick or his agent, and they're allowed to do so because he's not under contract with the team. Why do you think NFL teams are so gun-shy to rehire Bill Belichick with his six Super Bowls to be a head coach?
Well, I think that those are three very distinct situations, right? Okay. So,
But clearly Bill must think that it's a theme or trend that's going to continue because he's so interested in taking this North Carolina job, no?
Maybe, or maybe he's just sort of playing the averages, or maybe he's keeping leverage alive, or maybe, you know, no one would accuse Bill Belichick of not being brilliant. And don't you want to seem like a hot commodity? And don't you want to entertain offers? And don't you want to keep all options open?
Yes,
I mean,
but
there's
he also
been a lot of talk. What about Jacksonville?
About
if Jacksonville moves on from Doug Peterson, what about Jackson? If Jacksonville moves on from Doug Peterson, there's been all this Dallas talk, which I don't buy myself. But, you know, we don't know what's happening with the Giants. I think that there's a lot of things that are still up in the air, that it's way too early to sit here and say that unequivocally there will be zero interest in Bill Belichick.
So ultimately, do you think he takes this job? Just your opinion, just your gut instinct on it.
Oh, gosh, that's so hard.
Well, here's the best thing about it is that you're not, like, reporting anything, so if you're wrong about it,
here,
who gives
Aditi,
a crap?
I'm gonna loosen things up here. I think he's going to take the North Carolina job, and if I'm wrong, I'll bear the brunt of it. And now you can feel free to go either way with this.
I don't. I still don't think that he will. I think I can make arguments, but I still think that he would really like to coach in the National Football League.
Aditi, where are you on Sunday?
But, you know, I will say this, though. Let me throw one more thing out there. All I did read somebody say that he could be setting himself to be setting up his son to succeed him.
Correct.
Although his son seems to be standing on his own credentials as a coach. So I don't know. I don't know how that plays in as a motivating factor.
Where are you Sunday?
I'm in Denver. We have the Colts at the Broncos, which is akin to a playoff game.
Yeah.
Somebody gets eliminated and somebody stays alive. Well, I don't know if the Broncos get eliminated.
No, the Broncos can put a kill shot on the Colts, basically, with a win.
Basically, yes. Set the 17 playoff.
Exactly. I will tell you this, that right now there is more excitement in Denver and in that building than there has been, I think, since Peyton Manning was there. So it's exciting to be around an atmosphere and environment like that, a fan base that's hungry for it.
All right, Aditi, we'll talk again next week. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet.
You know what, Pony? You say it in those terms, the playoff field will be all but set in the AFC if Denver wins. The scriptwriters can't let that happen. That's why the Colts have to go in and pull an upset here.
Ever since I started working out, my ass has become so muscular that I have a hard time on chairs like this now.
What? Like your I'm not even going to say the phrase. Your butt just falls off the chair because you're unconsciously flexing.
That's like driving down into it.
I just, no.
Yeah.
No. That's not happening.
I'm just telling you what's going on. That's
not happening.
Well, it is, because
then you should go try to play. Then you should go try to play a competitive sport if you have suddenly worked your glutes to become that strong.
Congrats on all your success.
Thank you, Charlie. Somebody cares.
Congratulations. It didn't work.
Follow us on Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Donnie is off today. If you haven't noticed, he'll be back tomorrow.
As far as I know.
Okay. He'll be back tomorrow?
He's here tomorrow, but then it's me again on Friday.
We have a debrief coming up next. Charlie has a take on one of the most viral football moments of the last, I don't know.
Couple of years.
Time out, we're right back. Live from Porky's and Etna's, the PM team. Right now, it's time for the Donnie Football Debrief. Donnie's proxy is the gorgeous Charlie Borges, with Don taking a day off for himself. He has more days off in December than Jim Rome, and he's cashing them in right now. So we are left to the steady hand of one Charlie for the biggest football topics on the table today. Mr. Borges, I heard you had, what, two? You had one you liked, and then you changed it?
He had one that he liked, and then he had one that he loved.
Oh.
That is correct, Malzi.
Well, let's go with the one you love.
So, I'm just going to preface this by saying this is not a shot at all in any way, shape, or form to our good friend Johnny the Barber.
Do you want us to say it's a shot at him?
No, absolutely not. Because it's not a shot at him at all. Ohio State representative, not like the school, like a state representative of the state of Ohio, Josh Williams, introduced a bill today or yesterday that would classify flag planting at Ohio Stadium a felony.
One of the most loser moves I've ever heard in my entire life.
If this guy
was in my voting.
If he was in your district.
My district, yes.
You're just reflexively voting against him.
Yeah.
Just clown loser stuff. I don't even know if you could do a recall election for a guy like that, but I'd call for a recall election.
You know, my dad did that with the Mitchell Report Commission. Or whatever happened there. Like, remember when those guys went in front of Congress?
Yeah.
Well,
Palmero, was pointing at everybody.
One of our local congressmen did such a bad job that my dad said, I don't care what his politics are. When he's on the ballot in 2 years or whatever,
I'm voting against him. This dude's from, so he went to Toledo, Pitt's opponent in the, what's it called again? The Game Above?
Game Above Sports.
Game Above Sports.
Who went to Toledo?
This Josh Williams. So I was looking him up just to see what he's
usually
all about.
Usually Toledo folks root for Michigan.
True. Very good point.
So that's why this is strange to me.
And he's from, near the border, I think, of the two. Sylvania Township, I think it was, and I'm pretty sure that's near the Ohio-Michigan border. So here's what, kills me about this. Not only is it a huge loser move.
Big time.
But I also feel like it is a nakedly transparent attempt to just curry political favor. But I gotta be honest with you.
But if I'm an Ohio State fan,
I'm more mad at Ryan Day, and I'm more like, I don't want to have any whining going on about flag planting. If this Josh Williams, if I were his chief of staff, I'd say, Josh, you really want to get the people behind you, and you want to make sure you win your seat again? What you've got to do is call for the immediate firing of Ryan Day and then cook up some felony charges to keep him behind bars.
Because
that's what most Ohio State fans want.
If I'm Tennessee and I win there in 2 weeks, I'm planting
a flag. Oh, my God. I'm getting like a bunch of flags. Doesn't Tennessee run around with the big Tennessee flags, their cheerleaders?
Do you think they bring the dog, or do you think because it's supposed to be cold, they leave it at home?
What kind of dog is the Vol?
It's a hound.
Just a hound.
Of some kind.
I forgot that they had one at Tennessee. Yeah. Is it a long-haired dog like that would do well in the cold?
No, it doesn't have long hair. It has normal hair.
I don't think you can bring the dog if it's going to be super cold. Because they always tell you, like, when you're letting your dogs out in the winter, dogs get just as cold as people.
So what if, for example, Texas were playing a game at Penn State in the playoffs?
Bring Bevo?
Could it go?
I don't think so.
How about if it was Colorado?
Weren't they having accommodation problems at the SEC title game?
How about
for
the Buffalo?
Man, wouldn't you just love to see the Buffalo
in the bowl? I think
the
Buffalo would be built for that weather.
It is Buffalo weather. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Buffalo weather for sure. Can you imagine just a giant-ass Buffalo there? Just a huge – here's a huge-ass
Buffalo. I like
when
the Buffalo would, like, lead the covered wagon, and it would go so fast that the wagon would tip over and people would just get blown up.
That happened at Oklahoma. That was an Oklahoma thing, too.
Those were horses. No, you know what? There's not a covered wagon at Buffalo, but with Colorado, but I do think
there's like a radio flyer style wagon.
There's either a wagon or people are being pulled by the Buffalo and lay waste to those people.
I love the Oklahoma one where it's the horses or whatever pulling the Sunshine Schooner or whatever. That's what they called Lee Corso, right? That was in the old NCAA football games. They like the old Sunshine Schooner, and then Corso's voice pops up and says something. The video of the Oklahoma cheer people
when it went
diving
down.
Out of that thing, I'm assuming nobody got severely injured. That is one of those like college football follies guaranteed to make
is
me laugh.
Is there a live Nittany Lion at Penn State games?
No.
Why not?
Just have a mountain lion in the stands?
Because I don't think it's like – so like a bulldog's a very distinct breed of dog, so they can have – is it Uga or Uga?
Uga.
Uga. Mike the Tiger, did you see that they brought a scab tiger in? They brought a Fugazi tiger in.
What was wrong with the original?
I don't know, but I think the original was like at the vet, basically, and some guy was like, well, we're bringing in this crappy tiger, and no one liked it.
I do think
the Nittany Lion, to bring up what Charlie's point is, it's just a mountain lion. It's not that special. It's a regular-ass lion. It's just a cougar.
So like what?
It's so interchangeable.
Okay.
Pitt doesn't have a live panther at their games.
I think it should.
So you're just going you're going for the pro PETA take here of live mascots at all football games.
I think if you have an animal-based mascot, you should also have a live version of it.
Like as a requirement?
Alabama should have a big elephant.
But that's not their nickname. They're the Crimson Tide.
I know, but the mascot itself is an elephant.
So Auburn's just got a tiger.
Yeah.
Clemson. Do you know how many Tigers would be just chilling at football stadiums?
Call that Tiger. He's out of jail now.
How about the Eagles, man? You got Boston College. They got to bring a big-ass eagle.
How about the Cornhuskers? Just a random dude?
No, that's not an animal, though.
Yeah, I'm talking more about the animal-based ones. Wait a minute. Auburn does have an eagle.
Yeah, war eagle.
Yeah, and it flew away one time.
That's what I mean. That's kind of one of the perils. Can you imagine Cal just bringing a giant-ass bear?
Yeah, Auburn's a tough one because it's war eagle, but it's also a tiger mascot. So I guess in that case, they'd have to do both.
Eagle comes after the tiger, eagle tries to get it. What's the wussiest animal you could have? Who's got is there anybody?
Temple has an owl.
Oh, owls are not to be trifled with, man. Have you heard? They're vicious predators.
How about the Seleukis?
Is that like a dog of some kind?
I think it's like a wiener dog.
That'd be kind of funny. There's got to be like some team.
How about the ducks?
That duck is a pretty wussy animal, right? That duck isn't.
Yeah, but
lasting.
You always hear that thing like, "Would you rather fight one tiger or 100 ducks?"
Well, no, it's geese. Geese are the ones that are super mean. Geese attack golfers routinely. There's many videos of geese just chasing golfers. Who wins in the if we did like a live animal showdown? Which college's team comes out on top? Is a tiger definitively beating like the Grizzlies from Oakland University? These are the things my brain, by the way, goes to at like 10:30 at night. I think grizzly bear versus tiger, Kian Esmas Macho.
Tom brings up a great point here. How about Richmond? You just get a big tarantula.
Oh, what if it was just a bucket full of spiders and you just let it off on the field?
No, but seriously, Pitt should have its own panther. I feel like I know, like, for example, my wife and taking Stella to a game, if there was an added bonus attraction of being able to see an animal like that, I think it would.
You got to take a sip of this stout. I'm rocking the table here right now. Just take a little sip. I can talk. If there was an added bonus that she could see a wildcat at the game.
Yeah.
All I've spent this whole time thinking of and like the background processing in my brain is what is the funniest animal? And I think duck is way up there. I do. Like, I don't think you're going to come up with a funnier one. Wait, hold on. One more, though. One more for you. Does, I guess it would be what, Nevada and NC State, a whole pack of wolves?
Yeah, you can't just have one wolf. You need
you have to have how many, okay, how many wolves? Pack, how many wolves constitutes a pack?
I think three.
That's just a trio. I think if you got four wolves, they could fight each Ninja Turtle, that kind of thing. Four is a pack.
Maryland, the Terrapins, there's another weak-ass animal.
Oh, yeah. But those turtles are old, man. That thing might predate colleges in general. There's like some 200-year-old turtle that's out there somewhere in the sea, and it's like single-handedly repopulated the species.
We went to a Syracuse-Georgetown game when I was still in school, and instead of staying a night in D.C., one of the guys we were traveling with had a friend that was lived in a frat at Maryland. So we went to stay at Maryland because it was like a noon game, noon basketball game, and then we went and drove to College Park and stayed there and partied. And we went to campus, and they have that big turtle, like statue on campus that people rub for good luck and stuff. And like my buddy was drunk and like rubbed his butt crack all over like the place where people rub their hand. Yeah.
Was he proud of himself?
What are you laughing about, T-Bird?
That just seems like something T-Bird would do.
He did it in the cloak of night. Yes, and then people...
So people were, to some extent, touching your friend's butt crack when they touched the turtle.
Yeah.
That's nice of your friend.
Mike Miller.
The turtle you were talking about?
To the basketball
player. Is he like a CEO now?
I think he's a music teacher.
So you think he tells the students the old Terrapin butt crack story? That's a day one icebreaker for old Mike?
Charlie, what were you going to say?
Mulsey talked about the tortoise that repopulated the entire species. That would be Diego. I met Diego when I was in the Galapagos Islands.
I mean, he's a superstar.
Yeah, he was literally just chilling.
Charlie is in the mood to just tell people today how cool he is. What was he telling us off the air, T-Bird? How good of friends he was with Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen.
I am not good friends with Bruce Springsteen.
Wait, your dad, your,
like, yeah, I know
your
the boss.
College frat buddy's dad was one of the producers of Seinfeld and Two Broke Girls.
I know the boss. We go way back.
Yeah, I've
been to the Galapagos Islands.
Other people call him the boss or Bruce. You know, his real friends call him B. You know I'm not a Springsteen fan, right, Charlie? I do not like the music.
I mean, neither do I. I just heard he puts on a good show. I have not seen him.
It's long.
Yeah,
I've heard that as well. The guy can still
play his ass off.
He's like the Iron Man of that. He's like the Cal Ripken, just putting on these crazy long shows.
Honestly, more of a fan of Max Weinberg, the drummer.
And the Max Weinberg 7 from Conan O'Brien. Great pull. This was the true spirit of the debrief, though, Charlie, so good job.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, low of 19 degrees. Coming up next, we'll do a midweek vibe check on Steelers-Eagles with an interesting injury update to add to the discussion. Quick timeout, then a long commercial-free segment. We are live at Porky's in Aetna. We are here for the For the Win charity drive, raising money for the Greater Pittsburgh Women's Center and Shelter. We're taking gift cards, too. Target, Walmart, Amazon, you name it. It'll go to a good place for the holidays. We'll be right back. It's the PM team on the Fan.